We're in chapter 21 today, and we're going to finish up next week with the book of Revelation. So go to chapter 21, and very interesting here. We already looked at this last week, but by way of review, look with me at verse number 1. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, let me ask you a question. When it says a new heaven and a new earth, is that talking about God creating out of nothing an absolutely new earth? Or is that talking about something else? If you know the answer, let me know. Raise your hand. All right. We've got some people that know the answer. I'm going to try Krista up here. Krista, what do you say?
Like a remodeling? Like it's going to look different?
Exactly right. It is a remodeling, a thorough renovation of this earth. It is this earth. Very good, Krista. It's remodeled. It's cleansed. It's made new in that sense by the Lord, on the and he's going to completely do that, because what has just happened prior to that remodeling that makes it need a total remodeling. Cynthia?
There's a destruction of earthquakes and the whole, you know, almost like a nuclear bomb going off.
Yes, there'll be a total destruction of the world that we now know it during the day of the Lord's wrath. This could very easily happen in your lifetime, in my lifetime. And the day of the Lord's wrath is going to come as a thief of the night on the world, and destruction is going to happen. And remember, we looked at 2 Peter chapter 3, and it says that there the new heavens and the new earth is going to come after the destruction of the day of the Lord, right afterward. And so it can't happen after 1,000 years of Christ reigning like some people teach. They teach, well, Christ is going to reign 1,000 years, then we're going to have the great white throne judgment. That's true, the great white throne judgment. And then God's going to create a whole new heaven and earth. No, no, no. That denies what the Bible says in 2 Peter 3. That the new heaven and new earth is going to come out of the destruction of the day of the Lord. Not at the end of the millennium. That would deny Scripture. It denies Scripture in Isaiah 65 and 66. Which clearly says that the new heaven and new earth is the millennial earth. And it describes the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Not the period after that. And so, you see, it's very important we interpret Scripture with Scripture and not use somebody's theology to interpret that. You see, the millennium is going to be the new heaven and new earth. Now, we talked last week, there's a problem here, though. It says that there is no more sea. We know that during the millennium, people will be fishing in the Dead Sea, and the fresh water coming out of the throne of God in the New Jerusalem area, on Mount Zion, where the throne of God will be and where the temple of God will be, that will create fishing. By the way, you can eat fish in your glorified body, all right? And so how do you reconcile that? It says there'll be no more sea. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Krista?
That the water that had come down years and years
in the flood
ago,
yep,
is going to go back up, but the smaller bodies of water are going to remain.
You got it. Very good, Krista. So the water during the day of the Lord's wrath that came down and came up from underground caverns during Noah's flood, when a meteor hit the earth and created the tectonic plates, let the water come up and caused the canopy to come down, that water's going back up. And we said, where is the water of the flood? People say, where's all the water of the flood? It's in the oceans. The oceans. That is why the earth is mostly water. God didn't make it originally that way. He made it mostly earth, mostly land. But the waters of the oceans are the flood waters. Well, they're going back up in a canopy. And the Bible clearly says that there's no more sea. If you look at Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I did because I struggled with this. And I looked at it and it said the definition of, one of the definitions of sea is the vast oceans. The vast oceans. And that's what John is referring to here. He's referring to there's no more vast ocean like we have it today. There will be small seas, but not the vast ocean coverage from the flood. And so all of that is explained there. And we've been looking at chapter 21 and looking at the millennium and look at what that is like, and it's going to be very exciting. And then we looked at a point in time where something's going to happen here, and something's going to come out of heaven. And look at verse 10 of chapter 21. It says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Now, this city is in heaven. It is where we go right now when we die. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's where Christ has prepared us mansions. And he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." It is a vast city that is in heaven, a heavenly city. And the Bible says that Abraham looked for that city in his day. And it's a city which hath foundations. Abraham is there today. Isaac is there today. Jacob is there today. Your loved ones that have died and gone to heaven, they're there right now. But after the day of the Lord, and on the first day of the millennium, when God has renovated the earth and made the new heaven to the new earth, this city is going to come down from heaven. And when it comes down, who's going to be in the city? Somebody tell me. You'll be able to see it. John sees it coming down. Yes, Mary?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
And the people that have been saved that are going to be his helpers.
All right. Jesus and his church. It's called the Church of the Firstborn in Hebrews. And at the rapture, the church will have, if you're alive, your body's changed, and you'll meet the Lord in the air, and you'll go to the New Jerusalem. If you're dead, as I said, you're living there in that city, and you'll have a resurrected body, and the whole church will be together on that day of the rapture. Now, the question is, who's in that church? Well, all the Old Testament dead in Christ, from Adam on up to those that get saved right up to the rapture. Everybody will be together. So it'll be Israelites and Gentiles. We're all together in one body, the church. The Old Testament believers and the New Testament, all together, one body called the church. And we will be united together, and we'll dwell in that city, and we will come down, that city will come down to earth. Well, then who's going to live on the earth? If we're living in that city, who's living on the earth? By the way, we will not have children. We'll have resurrected bodies. We'll be having bodies that will not die and not have children. But who will be living on the earth having children? Marion?
Those people that survived the Battle of Armageddon and
yes,
destruction, they will be living on earth.
That's exactly right. Those people that survive through the day of the Lord, they weren't saved before the rapture, but they survived, and they got saved either during the day of the Lord, or they got saved at the point of the sheep and goat judgment, when the Lord divides the sheep and the goat. They got saved by recognizing Christ. Those people, Jews and Gentiles, will live on the earth, have babies, have houses, live hundreds of years old. They will be the ones that live on the earth. And Israel will be a nation. There will be different nations. Israel will be the head of the nations. But the church will be made up of Jews and Gentiles, Old Testament, New Testament believers that have been raptured, that will live in that New Jerusalem. Now, the church will not come down until the Lord has cleaned up the mess. When the Lord comes at the Battle of Armageddon, it is not with the quote church like people have taught. We're the bride of Christ. We're not going to war. It's with angels. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And he comes down, does the Battle of Armageddon. He cleans up the earth and creates this renovated heaven and earth. Now the New Jerusalem comes down, and it is right on the top of the old Jerusalem. And the mountain that is the great mountain that's raised up is just a hill today. What mountain is that called? It's going to be a great mountain, very high during that day. Verse 10 of Revelation 21 talks about what mountain is that? Marion?
I'm just taking a guess.
Yep.
Hebron?
It is. You didn't say Zion, did you? It's Mount Zion. It's the Temple Mount. It's the Temple Mount. All right, now here's the thing. Is there going to be another temple rebuilt on the Temple Mount? Probably pretty soon. Is there going to be another temple rebuilt on the Temple Mount? Probably pretty soon. Denny? Yes, you're absolutely right. There is. Now, who's going to go into that temple, though? Marion.
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist. And he's going to put a statue of the Roman prince or the beast in there. And that is going to be worshipped as God. That's going to defile the Holy of Holies of that temple. That's called the Tribulation Temple. Where the abomination of desolation will be set up. That temple, no doubt, will be destroyed sometime during the day of the Lord or the 70th week. Now, after that, that's the third temple, by the way. After that, there's going to be a fourth temple. And the fourth temple is going to be on Mount Zion. Now, by the way, we see in heaven the temple of God, don't we? If you look in Revelation, you see a temple in heaven in the earlier chapters of Revelation. But when the city comes down, John says there's no temple in the city. How do you reconcile that? The only way I can reconcile it, that temple that's in the New Jerusalem is going to be moved and put on top of Mount Zion. And that will be the temple during the millennium. Some say the Lord's just going to rebuild the temple. Well, I believe he's building it in heaven and it's going to come down and it's going to be on top of Mount Zion. But the point is that the temple of God will be on top of Mount Zion, and Ezekiel mentions that temple in the millennium, and it will be there, and now the Antichrist won't be there, and the beast won't be in there. The Lord will be in there. That will be his throne. The interesting thing is, Mount Zion is on earth. It's right where the old Jerusalem is. And there will be an earthly Jerusalem, there will be a Mount Zion. But the heavenly new Jerusalem will come down and will surround that mountain. Will be like a chandelier over the top of that mountain. So that the temple, even though it's on earth, there'll be access to it from the bottom of the new Jerusalem. And that way the heavenly city kind of merges with the earthly temple of God and they share it in common. And Christ will be able to reign over the earth, but he'll still be lighting up the chandelier city of the new Jerusalem. It's amazing. And so we're the heavenly people and we'll be there in the new Jerusalem, but it'll be setting right on the Mount Zion that's been lifted up, and therefore we'll be able to reign with Christ over the earth. It's amazing how that's going to be. And when we have the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the Lord is going to serve that dinner to us with the angels, and we'll have the Lord's table, it'll be right there on Mount Zion on the earth. And so, by the way, if people that live on earth during the millennium, if they want to visit the heavenly city, they can climb Mount Zion. They can see the temple of God there and worship God there in the temple on Mount Zion, which is also in the base of the New Jerusalem, and they can then go into the city. So it's amazing, this interaction that there's going to be. And you say, well, where am I going to live after, you know, I get saved? Well, you'll go to heaven, but heaven will come down. The heavenly city is going to come down. And you will live in a city right over the renovated earth. And your job during the day, if you're a saved person and you have rewards from the Lord, your job will be on earth to judge and to lead the new earth and the people that live there in their earthly bodies. And you will have this resurrection body. And just like, remember, the Lord spent 40 days with his disciples. They had their earthly bodies. He had a resurrection body. Was he able to eat with them, Marion?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he was able to eat fish with them. He was able to eat food with them. He ate honey and bread and so forth. We'll be able to eat. But you won't need to go to the bathroom. Be no toilets. No outhouses. No stains. No defiling or nothing dirty at all It is absolutely amazing. I'm glad we're going to be able to eat, though, because I like to eat. And we'll be able to fly. You'll have supernatural strength, almost like superpowers. You know, that's why they show Superman and all these superheroes, and people get into that, and they show them helping people on the earth. You know, you see these Superman things. Well, the real super people will be the saints of God with the Lord. And you'll never get tired. You'll never get old. You'll never have to go to sleep. You'll eat, but you won't be hungry in a bad way. It's just amazing what God has to say about what He's going to do. You see, He's going to bring it back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden, but it's even going to be better. This is what we have to look forward to. Yes, things are going to get worse and worse. Worse before they're going to get better. But thank God when Jesus is coming back, it's going to be wonderful. And if you're truly saved, it's going to be great. And if you're saved, I encourage you to invest in the Lord's work, because it's not going to crash like the stock market or like the banks. It's going to be a great thing. So that's what we're looking at here in Revelation. And let's look a little bit more at the city here real quickly here. Because it says in verse 10, He carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, that's Mount Zion, showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. By the way, that's a holy city. There's going to be no dirty movies in that city. There's going to be no queer marriages in that city. Going to be no prostitutes in that city. Going to be no abortions in that city. No drugs and drunkenness in that city. It's a holy city. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone. And it had a wall great and high, and it had 12 gates. By the way, that wall that'll be around the city is 215 feet high. 215 feet high. That is a very high wall around the city. That's important. Does anybody know why you need a wall around that city? Why do you need a wall around that city? I'll tell you why. A wall is to keep out enemies. And the Bible says here in Revelation 21... that anybody that lives, even during the millennium, if they're not saved, they will not be able to go into the city. By the way, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a wall around countries like in the Bible days to protect from foreign invaders or illegal people coming in. People can come, but they should come legally into a country and should be able to be checked. Well, the New Jerusalem's going to be that way. By the way, your home ought to have walls around it. Our church ought to have walls. And somebody comes in and says, I'm a practicing homosexual, but I accepted the Lord. I want to be a member of the church. No. Somebody says, I'm living with somebody, but I'm not married to them. I want to be a member of the church. No. There should be walls. Not everybody can be a member of the church. You have to be born again, and you have to be living your life in a Christian way to be a member of the church. That doesn't mean you're sinless. That doesn't mean we don't fall into sin. But if you're deciding, I'm going to live this lifestyle that's against the Word of God, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have both. Bible says you can't eat the table of devils and the Lord's table at the same time. And so we need these walls, and the New Jerusalem is going to have a wall, but it also, thank God, has gates. Look at this. It says in verse 12 that it had 12 gates, and they're four sides, so there's going to be three gates. Four times three is 12, and these gates, it says, had 12 angels at the gates. You know how they always say St. Peter stands at the gate? Well, it's angels that stand at the gate. Notice that. And there are not one gate. There's 12 gates. And it says, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. All right. And then it describes the gate. Notice what it says in verse 14. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So you have the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel on the gates are named there. And the city has foundations. I'm so glad that the city has foundations or something solid. And he says that he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city. And look at verse 60. The city lieth four square, and the length of it is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. So this city is going to have foundations, and it's going to be 12,000 furlongs, and it's like a cube equal on every side. It's like a cube city. And in that city, that's where we're going to live. That's where we're going to live, in the heavenly city, but it'll be right on the earth, right on the top of Mount Zion. And there are living areas where if you divide that all up and you take a mile and then you put a floor on it and a mile and put a floor on it and a mile and put a floor on it, all through that city you're going to have a lot of living space, and each of those floors of the city is going to have forests and going to have trees and going to have grass and flowers and lakes and all of that. A beautiful place to live. Somebody said that if all the saved people that have ever been saved have a place to live in that city, and you figure out the square footage of it, there would be enough for 75 acres square for each person, a mansion. There's a golden street that goes through the whole thing, one big golden street winding through it all. And the street is made of pure gold, it says here. It's interesting, but the present earth, if you live on the present earth, there are 510,100,000 square miles. By the way, we are not overpopulated. The New World Order people that want to reduce the population and control the world, they say that we need to restrict childbirth and so forth. That's a bunch of baloney. The earth has 510,100,000 square miles, but the New Jerusalem, figuring all those different levels, would have a total living area, get this, of 3,337,500,000 square miles. Tremendous area to live in the New Jerusalem, and that is the home of the saints. What a city that is. And it describes the foundations of it and so forth. Beautiful description, that the 12 gates. Notice that in verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each several gate was of one pearl. You heard of the pearly gates? Yep. How big is a pearl? Maybe that big? Can you imagine a gate that's going to be huge, made out of one pearl? 12 gates, and each made out of pure a pearl. And verse 22 says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So when it's coming down from heaven, there's no temple. But as I say, it will surround Mount Zion, and the temple will be on Mount Zion. So it will be right there at the base of the city. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon. Look at that, to shine in it. Verse 23, it says, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now let me ask you a question. The city's going to be right over the earth. Is the earth going to have sunlight?
The city shielded?
Well, that's a good question. The Bible says in the Old Testament that the city will give light to the earth. So where the city is, there's going to be tremendous light from the city that will shine on the earth, on the millennial earth. However, there's also going to be the sun shining on the earth. So the earth will have the sun. The Bible talks about that. And there'll be like long growing seasons. And the earth will not have the winters like we have now. And all the, you know, they're talking about global warming, you know. This is the coldest winter on record. Scientists have proved for the last 6 years the temperature of the earth has gone down. For the last 6 years. So these people that talk about global warming, they're giving you a bunch of stuff to get you to cut down on carbon. They want to do carbon taxes so they can just control you. They want to control the world. It's not really a crisis. It's baloney. Political baloney. And this earth will have a tremendous growing season. The sun will shine on it. But the city itself, we won't need the sun because the Lord will keep lighting that entire chandelier city. And the light will shine through that chandelier and be another light on the millennial earth, a great light on the millennial earth that will be seen and will be shining in a beautiful way upon the earth as well as the sun. So this city is going to be a place where there's no night there. How will that affect you, though, no night there? How are you going to get to sleep? Marion? You don't need sleep. You won't be tired at all. You'll never need to sleep. You could sit down and rest and talk and relax, but you won't ever need to sleep. And my daughter has two daughters now. One is Kate and the other is Scarlett. And Scarlett is like always active and crazy, but Kate likes to relax. She doesn't like too much activity, and she puts her in one of those little rocking things, you know, they go click, click, click back and forth, and she says Kate is chilling out. She likes to just chill out, relax. And so if you want to chill out, you can do it, but you don't sleep. There'd be no sleep there. It's going to be a beautiful place in the New Jerusalem. And it's just giving you a description of it here. And notice what it says in verse 24, because remember, there are nations on the earth. There's Israel and the nations. Look what it says. And the nations of them which are saved will walk in the light of it. Now, that's talking about the light of it will shine on the earth, like we just talked about, Krista, we were talking about. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So the kings that lead the nations will be able to come to it, visit it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night in that city, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall, but notice this in verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So yeah, I take it they're only saved people from the earth will be able to go in there and visit the heavenly city as they come up Mount Zion and go to the temple and then partake of the heavenly city there. So that's the description of this earth. Beautiful. Now, notice what it says here in chapter 22. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne and out of the Lamb. Now, there's going to be the temple on top of Mount Zion. The heavenly city will be surrounding that and hovering over that. The temple will be able to be visited by people on earth, and they'll be at the base of the city when they visit it. Also, the temple will be seen by us who are in the heavenly city as we look down at the base of the city. And the Lord will reign there, but the Bible says that water is going to come out from the threshold of the temple. And in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, it says that water will start as a little trickle, and then it will get deeper and deeper, and it will flow to the east. And that water will actually go into the land of Israel, and it will become a great river, and it will go into the Dead Sea, and it will cause the Dead Sea's waters to be healed because it will give forth healing powers. And notice what it says in verse 2. It says, in the midst of the street, there'll be a street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so there's going to be the river flowing out of the temple of God. Either side of the river, there's going to be a tree of life growing, and 12 manner of fruits every month going to yield a different kind of fruit. Can you imagine that? The tree? And it says a tree will be for the healing of the nations. What do you think that's talking about? Your guess is as good as mine. What do you think? What would that be? the tree is for the healing of the nations. Will you need to be healed during that time when you live in the New Jerusalem? I don't think so. You have a glorified body. You don't need to be healed, Marion.
Those that aren't saved?
Well, people that live on the earth that are saved, will they ever need healing?
No.
Greg?
God said in Genesis that if Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of life, they would live forever. So I take it that people that are still mortal really would want to eat of that tree to stay alive for the millennium.
That's exactly right. It'll keep them alive. Where do you go now if something happens to you? I got to go visit Mercy Hospital. Somebody's getting a third of their liver cut out. I'll be visiting there tomorrow. Carl Nelson, pray for him. He's getting his liver cut out. Annie Nelson's husband. You know, you go to CMC, you go to Mercy, you go to Moses Taylor, whatever hospital, if you have a need. They do surgery. In the millennium, they bring you to the tree of life. And the river that flows out of the temple of God has this fruit growing on either side of it with these trees, that 12 different fruit. You can pick a fruit, and I take it the different fruit. One is for a liver problem, one is for a heart problem, one is for a kidney problem. Relaine's got 3 kidneys. She could go eat that if she was there, but she won't have that kind of body then. But you can go there and the need for healing will be met. And as Greg said, I believe that's true, that it's like a fountain of youth pill. Every time you eat that fruit, it gives you life. You keep living. You keep living. You don't die as long as you can keep eating that fruit. So you think people will be beating it there? I do. Now you wonder if the saved are going to be able to eat of it because they can't go into the New Jerusalem. The unsaved, I mean. So that might be a problem, although they will be able to live longer because the earth will be a different climate, you know, so they'll still have long life. But not as good a quality of life if you can't eat that fruit. But that's a good question. Yes, Cynthia?
I have 2 questions.
Yep.
You're talking about the people going up to Mount Zion of the temple.
Yeah.
Are people only going to be living in that part of the world?
Oh, no.
Oh.
They'll be traveling from all over the world to go there. In fact, the Bible says this. The Bible says if a certain country will not go and celebrate the feasts and worship at the Lord's temple in Jerusalem, if they won't travel there, they will be cursed with no rain. And they'll have famines in their country during the millennium. By the way, there's a good illustration of that. I thank God I've gone to First Baptist Church in Hammond for pastor school and youth conference, and God has blessed our church with spiritual blessings because of those trips. And if some people won't make those trips, they're not going to get the blessings, I believe. So when God gives you an opportunity to get spiritual blessing, you should take it. And there'll be people during the millennium, they will not take those trips. And they're going to lack rain. Yes.
Okay. The people on earth are going to be able to have children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say those children grow up and they die.
Yes.
Where will they go?
Well, the Bible says a child...
Or anybody that's still living on the earth.
Yes.
When they die, where will they go?
Okay.
Their souls.
Okay, the Bible says a child will die at 100 years of age, but it appears that death will mostly be judgments. So it would be people going to hell, mostly. Unsaved people will go to hell, and hell is still at the center of the earth at that point.
During that millennium time.
Yeah, they'll go to hell. Now if a saved person did die during that time, well then I would take it their soul would go to the heavenly city.
Okay, so the people are going to live forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I would take it the unsaved are going to die during the millennium. And as I just described to you, and they would go to hell, and their bodies will be raised at the end of the millennium for the great white throne judgment. Okay? Yes?
If a baby dies, and and their spirit goes to heaven. When with setting up of the new kingdom on earth, will they still be babies, or what will they be?
All right.
Ask me that question.
Yes. Yes. Right. So if a baby dies right now.
Yeah. And when Christ sets his kingdom up on earth, what will that baby be? Will it be a baby, or will it be an adult?
All right. Well, if a baby dies now, when Christ comes back at the rapture, the baby will be joined with the soul of the baby. So the soul goes right to heaven, and the body would be joined with the soul.
So it would still be baby.
At the rapture. Well, that is in the Lord's hands. He could do that and then let the baby grow if he so chooses, or he could have the baby at a different level. That's in his choice. I don't really know. It's like a secret thing the Lord hasn't shown us. However he does that, you know, he could do that. I personally believe there'll be children in heaven. There'll be different ages.
I don't know. I've never asked you this either.
Yeah.
When someone dies and then, you know, they go to heaven.
Yes.
And you die.
Yes.
And you go up.
Yes.
Do you know them? Like, would I know my grandparents?
Yeah.
Would I know my parents?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And a lot of people ask that question. And from the Bible, it's very clear that we will know one another. We will recognize one another. Illustrations of that are Elijah and Moses, when the disciples saw them in heaven, or they had gone to heaven and they saw them on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, they recognized them as Moses and Elijah. Saul was recognized when he was in heaven in the Old Testament as being Saul. He was recognizable. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he wasn't immediately recognizable. But he helped them to see him and recognize him. And I think people will look a whole lot better. And so, you know, it's almost like, you know how people in Hollywood are trying to spend all this money for facelifts? Save the money and let the Lord give you a facelift, because he can do a job like nobody can do. But I believe that even if they're changed and more beautiful, and we all will be, there'll be the ability to recognize one another in heaven. But there won't be the signs of aging and of all the stuff of this world there. I mean, it's going to be youth. You know, people look for the fountain of youth. Well, that's it right there. That's the way it's going to be. And so that's the future that we have to look forward to. Now, next week, we're just going to finish the end of chapter 22, and that's our last one. Let me tell you what's going to happen after next week, because I want you to be preparing ahead for this too. We're going to do a survey of all of the books of the New Testament. All of the books of the New Testament. We're going to do a survey of what each book teaches of the New Testament. We're going to hit the high points and go right through all the books of the New Testament right after next week. But next week we're finishing Revelation, all right? So if you have any questions, bring them. Read chapter 22. See you next week.